So in Parshas Vayigash, Rashi tells us, Yehuda on the pasuk, Yehuda shalcha fun of Goshna. Yehuda went down to set up Beis Medrash, Beis Hora, a school system. So I want to discuss communal institutions from the perspective of the finances, meaning who's responsible to pay for the finances of whatever communal institutions you have, whether it be a shul, a school, a mikveh, an eruv, etc. So the Gemara, there's three sugyas here, which we'll start with the first two. The Gemara Baba Basra Dav Zayinam Abayz talks about when you have to when you have to pay for security costs. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. Does it go by to the people who live closer to the walls pay more than the people in the middle or not? And the terminology used is Lefi Mamon Govin or Lefi Kiruv Batin. Do you go by whoever has more money, or do you go by who's closer to the walls? Now, it sounds like, you know, from our perspective, if we put on our, that the people who could afford it more should pay more, and the people who can't should pay less. But that's not really what's happening. If you look in the second sugya, in Baba Kama, Kuf Tezayin Mabez, Shayara Shaisa Malachas Bamidvar, Amar Alea Gais Latorfa. So you have a caravan, and marauders come. So Machashvin Lefiya Mamon, and Machashvin Lefiya Nefashas. So you pay based on whoever has more money. But if they hired a tour guide because they were lost in the desert, then each person pays equally, or at least they factor in an equal payment portion of it. Now, the Mefarshim explain the following. Everything is based on how much you benefit from it. So when we're talking about a security wall, that's because the assumption is that the security wall is meant to protect you from robbers, primarily, not from murderers. So the people who have more money stand to lose more than the people who have no money. And similarly here, so if they're lost in the desert and pirates come to take their money, so the people who have more money need to pay more money for the mercenaries who chased away the pirates. Right? Because it's all based on benefit. Okay? So the more you benefit from something, the more you have to pay. So if we were to take that approach, so let's say as shuls, then we would say, you know, okay, you guys came to the shiur, so you pay $5 for the shiur and $2 for mariv and everything. And people would stop coming to shul. So we can't do that. But we have certain things which are like that. If you make a bris in the shul, you pay to rent out the hall, etc. So every organization has a mixed model. So what's this mixed model based on? So first, let's start with schools. So with schools, there's a special institution. So the Gemara quotes it. Yeshua ben Gamla was the one who started a school system before him. So, the Torah would have been forgotten. Because originally, if you had a father who could teach you Torah, good. And if not, so that was it. And then they started local things. And nothing really worked out. Until he said, you know what? The community has to bring, if you have a community, you have to bring in teachers into the community. And you have to, it's part of the community. And everybody should have an opportunity to learn. Now, the Ramah points out something interesting. Because when we say community, so you think like, okay, it's part of the communal expenses. So however you raise communal money, so this is part of it. The Ramah says, "V'ein avin shel tinokos yichol liskor livnei." Meaning, primarily you should try to get the money from the parents. But if you can't, the community has to fill in the remainder. So there's, you have this hybrid idea that whatever the parents could pay, they pay, and then the community should pay the rest. Now, practically speaking, it's hard to get people who already went through, they already went through the whole thing. They have no more kids in school. Like, why should I pay tuition? Why should I pay? But it is in principle a community institution. And the Gemara on the same page, talking about the same takana, talks about when you have this this system that you have certain expectations that the school is supposed to limit its expenses and not have, you know, make sure to have classes that are efficient, etc. So it's a two-way street, meaning you can't have a school that spends, you know, way more than the normal school and then ask the community to pay for it, but if they're spending reasonable amount of money for their education, then the community should kick in funds. Okay. Now, what's included in this? The Tosefta says, you know, building a shul is also part of this, that Kofim B'nai Yir, meaning the people of the city could say, hey, we need a shul here. You have to pay, and I have to pay, and we have to figure out how to pay for it. The same thing with an Eruv, to make a Lechi, a Korah for a Mavoi, etc. So what about personal responsibility? So the Hagos Maimoni quotes, like, let's say there's 10 people in town, okay? So if one guy goes away for Shabbos, they have no minyan. So he's required, if he leaves, to pay somebody else to come in his place. And if two people leave, then they have to split the cost, and that doesn't go by... that theoretically should not go by wealth. You know, two people want to go away for Shabbos, they should split 50-50. If there's 11 people, I'm saying, if 11 people, two go away for Shabbos, so they have to hire a 10th man, so they split it 50-50. What about a chazan? So the same piece, the Maram says, the chazan's different. And here you could already start saying based on wealth. Not because of, you know, one guy can afford more, but because the wealthy people are more tied to their homes. So if there's no minyan in a town and they keep having trouble getting a minyan, so it's easier for the people without as much money to move somewhere else, whereas the wealthy people have their business there and they can't just pick up and leave. Okay? The Rashba says another reason. Let's say for a chazan. So the people who don't have as much money, so they're okay with a guy who's not so good. But the wealthy people have a chiyuv to find somebody who's very good. So they should pay. So if they're hiring somebody, again, if they're hiring somebody who's not so good, and they know such a thing. But if you're hiring a good chazan, so then you have to, those people should kick in more. And then Rabbeinu Yerucham has what we all call the property value svara. That property values rise when a shul has, you know, when you have a better shul, so people move in and your property values go up. So if you have a bigger house, you'll get more money from the fact that the property values go up than the guy with the smaller house, or you have more assets. So that's a modern day consideration, but it's already mentioned in Rabbeinu Yerucham. Now, what if some people say, let's say a mikvah? So a guy says, I'm a single guy, I don't need a mikvah. So you could say, well, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, or whatever. So he says, no, it's a men's mikvah. So the Mari Mint says that there are different things. First of all, there are things that are communal in as a whole, meaning you need to have a mikvah in the community, so that's a communal expense. Because we don't have a lot of time, I'll point out, Rav Moshe Alshich discusses, let's say a person doesn't want to pay for the rabbi. Says, I could be the rabbi. Like, why do I need to pay somebody else? So he seems to be more makel on that. So the Chasam Sofer says, what's the difference between a mikvah and a rabbi? So, the guy can't say, I'm not going to pay for the rabbi, and then actually go and ask the rabbi questions. But let's say he says, I don't want... So Chasam Sofer says, well, in theory, everybody should try to strive to be on the level where he doesn't have to ask any shaylas. So therefore, if he really is on that level, so then maybe you can exempt him. But a mikvah is a mikvah, meaning you need it for the whole community, and it's a communal expense. The Maram Padua discusses this all in building a shul. Again, in earlier times, things were kind of bifurcated. Like, they had money that they raised for a chazan and money they raised for a rabbi. And now, like, we have just a shul that has all the expenses all in one place. So this, the Makoros here come from the Maram Padua, who says the same thing, that we have this, the minhag is to definitely have a hybrid model. So yeah, people who can't afford as much will pay less, and people who can afford more, so they'll pay membership. Again, he's not talking about membership, but that's how it's done here, you know, here and pretty much everywhere. It's more done in Ashkenazi circles, and these are all, a lot of these are Ashkenazi sources. Sephardim kind of have...
Ashkenazi?
The Rashba was not, no, but I'm saying this, Sephardim have a different way of raising money for their... you know, for
also
their needs, so they don't have, you know, they don't have a membership model as much as in Ashkenazi circles, and it could be based on these Makoros, but the idea is that for a variety of reasons, if you're looking at the membership model, that people who have more money benefit more, so to say, from the needs of the shul, or they have higher demands for what the shul needs, and therefore they should pay more, and those who don't have as much should pay less. And the same thing, you know, Rav Schechter has mentioned this, that this model is something that schools should also follow to some extent, you know, in giving out scholarships, that every school has certain add-ons, so to say, that are not necessarily needed for everyone, and so you could have the model where you charge extra for those add-ons, you know, let's say enrichment or special needs, things like that, and you could also have that people who can't afford as much pay less, which is what happens. It's a scholarship. And then you ask the other parents to not only pay the full tuition, but to give donations, etc., to support that. So those are the different... So what comes out is that there is this financial-based system, and it is based on benefit, like we said at the beginning. It's based on benefit that certain people get more benefit or not, maybe net benefit might be the same, but the people should be spending more for their education than the people who don't have as much.
Got him.
Okay.